This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. We mentioned that part of the funding element of the coronavirus spending package will involve telemedicine. That will be an important piece to help reduce direct contact and possible spread of the virus. Telemedicine has been viewed as an important piece of healthcare in general, now and in the future, allowing people in remote areas to have a doctor to talk with about a potential condition. John Karangi is the founder and CEO of CareClix, which is a telemedicine company, and he joins us now with more. John, welcome to the show. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. So, as I mentioned, this has been a piece to healthcare that we've seen start to grow out. How will it be really have the opportunity to show its best capabilities during this coronavirus outbreak?
Yeah, I mean, telemedicine, as you said earlier, has grown tremendously. And in situations like this, there's great value because you can imagine, you know, you're sick, you don't know what to do, and your only option right now outside of telemedicine would be to go to the doctor's office, sit in the waiting room, be around other sick people, or sit in the emergency room around other sick people where you can contract other conditions as well. So obviously with telemedicine, you can access a provider, see them remotely, whether you're doing a video consult, telephone consult with a doctor remotely, give them your symptoms, have them assess you, see perhaps if you have a travel history and so forth, and then be able to make a judgment call in terms of, you know, are you very, very sick in terms of you've got to go to the emergency room right now because you're short of breath and you've got respiratory symptoms that may lead to other things happening, or, you know, are you stable, you can stay home, manage it the way you would do any other virus. I mean, you know, the treatment for coronavirus, any other virus for that matter, primarily is supportive. So, you know, most healthy people manage through it and they do fine. But if you're sick, elderly, other underlying conditions, that's when you end up with complications that can be more detrimental. Those are the types of people we want going to the emergency room. Those are the types of people that need to go, to clinical facilities to have direct care. But for the most part, you know, patients who can access a provider remotely, go through their symptoms, have the physician review their symptoms with them remotely, can manage very, very, very well.
And it sounds like some of that may be occurring, at least surrounding coronavirus. It may occur in a lot of the bigger cities, maybe more so than normal, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, L.A., because of the fact that, as you said earlier, people may not want to go to the doctor's office and sit around other people that may be sick. They want to do this remotely, at least till they understand whether or not they need to make that go to the emergency room.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's where telemedicine has huge value, because it at least at the minimum gives us a high level triage effect where we can manage these patients remotely, evaluate them, and then make that assessment in terms of what needs to be done next. I mean, for the most part right now, what's happening is, you know, some patients are having symptoms, and they may be, you know, other flu symptoms, the common cold type of symptoms, and they don't know, is this coronavirus, is it not, was I exposed, was I not, what do I do? And they're rushing to go to these facilities, and, you know, unfortunately, there are nosocomial infections, there are things that are happening at clinical sites that if we can stay away from, then it's better, and that's where telemedicine really has huge value, especially in situations like this.
How far along is the build-out of telemedicine in general with our health system?
So it's interesting you say that. I have conversations with people in other countries, and we're further along than most places, but there are other places in this world. I'll give you an example, Singapore, where they're further ahead than us. And there's huge value in it, as you can imagine. We have the technology now to be able to assess patients remotely. We can have, kits such as, you know, most patients or most people have a little thermometer at home. We have low-cost devices that can be at home to do clinical assessments on patients. So it can go beyond what we consider observational consult to really have high-level diagnostic tools at the home place. So when you are sick, you can simply access a provider, have them do a judgment evaluation on you, do a clinical evaluation on you, and then decide, you know, if you can get treated or not. And, you know, there's literature out there that people put out there, and we've done that with CareClix as well, where, you know, upwards of 75%+ of conditions that people go to ERs and urgent care and doctor offices for can be managed remotely. And so overall, there's been huge advances done. But, you know, medicine moves slowly in many ways.
Yeah.
And education is very important. And so from our you know, onset till now, we've seen a dramatic uptick in the utilization of telemedicine, not only from the providers' usage, but also from patients. Patients are getting comfortable with it. Doctors are getting comfortable with it. Hence, it's being used more and more.
So
we're seeing it grow dramatically.
So when you think longer term in healthcare, and obviously healthcare in general is one of the most important topics we have, as part of the presidential campaigns going on right now. It's been a hot topic now for several years, going back to the Obama administration. How do you view telemedicine as having that piece to healthcare that may be able to take us to those next platforms?
Right. Yeah, you know, I always talk to people about this, and I say, you know, when we started CareClix as an example, there was a transition happening in healthcare, right? We went 50 years ago, everything happened at the hospital. And then in the 70s and 80s and 90s, we start building up more outpatient facilities and with surgery centers and imaging centers and so forth. And things start happening in medicine, both on an inpatient basis and an outpatient basis. I see telehealth, what's considered by many now is what's said virtual health. Virtual health is just another mechanism or another venue to provide healthcare services. So now we have, you know, different environments. Some things can be managed virtually, right? Things that can't be managed virtually can be taken to an outpatient setting. If you can't be managed in an outpatient setting, then you go to an inpatient setting. And it's just sort of a mechanism that allows us to manage patients in different settings so we can take care of them the best. And the biggest problem with healthcare overall is that people don't get care when they need it, or they don't have access to the quality of care when they need it. We've got experts all over this country that are the best in the world. But unfortunately, parts of this country don't have access to those experts. Through telemedicine, they now get access to those experts, they can get the care they need and get treated properly. Misdiagnoses and mismanagement, you know, is very commonplace in healthcare, and it's something that happens. But it's because people don't have access to the quality or the experts that are available for those conditions. That's where telemedicine comes into play. So I guess I oftentimes equate this to it's a transition or an evolution of a new environment to practice medicine in. And we're currently, the terminology is, you know, telehealth, or what, like I said, what we'll call virtual health, is now what we're considering it. And I think in many ways, this will all morph together as just being healthcare service delivery. It's not going to be called a different term. You know, people don't say inpatient care, outpatient care, unless you're in medicine itself. Patients have no, you know, don't speak that way. It's the same thing now. You know, we call it virtual now. Pretty soon it'll be all just part of healthcare, and it'll just be one just continuum of services being delivered across the board.
So as coronavirus has started to make its impact here in the United States, are you starting to hear from facilities around the country that you are seeing more people check in with doctors via a telemedicine service than maybe
definitely
were doing like a month or two ago?
Definitely. I think people are now saying, what can I do to see a provider without having to go somewhere and expose myself to other pathogens that I don't have to? I mean, one of the things the CDC put out there is, you know, avoid close contact with sick people, right? Or stay at home when you're sick. Those are all things the CDC has put out in terms of things we should be doing. Telemedicine fits that mold and allows people to do that. Because otherwise, like I said earlier, you'd have to get up and physically go somewhere, again, exposing yourself to sick people and maybe contracting something else where you didn't have to.
John, thanks very much for your time. All the best.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
John Karangi, who is the founder and CEO of CareClix, talking about the world of telemedicine and also how it is impacting our country right now surrounding coronavirus. To keep engaged with Wharton Business Daily and other Wharton School shows, visit businessradio.wharton.upenn.edu.